Let's turn now to a problem that many Americans face, heart disease, which kills almost 1 million Americans every year. That's the daunting reality facing our next guest. Paul Eisenstein is the 60-year-old publisher of thedetroitbureau.com, and we normally talk to him about cars, but it turns out that Paul is like many middle-aged Americans for another reason. After his doctors did some tests, they told him he had high cholesterol and he was at risk of a heart attack. But it wasn't just that. Paul's father, grandfather, and uncle all died from heart attacks before they were 60. Still, Paul ignored his doctor's advice. Then last summer, he started feeling unusually fatigued, and we'll let Paul take it from here. He joins us from Detroit. And Paul, so you were feeling tired, but what else?
Well, I was approaching 60, which I just turned a little over a month ago, and I was starting to feel all the things that you try to think are just related to age. Walks become more difficult. Life becomes more difficult. You even have to give yourself a little bit of a shove to get out of a chair. You just feel tired and worn down. And you say, oh, I'm turning 60. That must be the problem.
Sounds about right. And so what made you think that maybe it was more than just the turning 60 factor?
Well, as I approached my birthday, my wife and I took a trip abroad. And we went all over Europe. And we did what we like to do normally, which is to walk. Except I was finding myself getting more and more tired on even shorter and shorter walks. Worse, just before I came back, I noticed that I was getting real bad swelling in my calves, ankle, and feet. And it got horrible. I looked like a balloon when I came back. And that got me thinking, there's something wrong. I guess I started listening to my body. I had another trip to go on, another assignment to China, and I decided to call both my regular doctor and a cardio I had used a few years ago. And they said, if you're going to China, you don't want to have a heart attack at 40,000 feet. Get to the hospital, get tested now.
So you did that, right? And what happened? What'd they find?
Well, I went through a couple tests, and the first ones were good. I did not have a heart attack. It appears I never did have one, which is nice because I'm already 14 years beyond where my father survived. He died at 46. But as they continued the tests, the results turned out to be bad. I have to tell you, one of the worst things you can imagine is having a doctor walk into your room and saying, Paul, I have to tell you, you have serious heart disease.
What did they do? Did they let you leave the hospital?
Well, they offered me some options, and I have to tell you, I shook. I shook enough to rattle fillings out of my teeth for about an hour. It really was, to me, initially a death sentence. I had no idea what I was going to deal with. All the males in my family died at very young ages, and I lived already beyond that, and I did not know if that meant I wasn't going to survive. So I had to think about it. They gave me a few minutes, and then they basically came back and said, now, that could be a mistake. You could go to China. We'd recommend you have a stress test tomorrow, or the best thing to do would be to wait till Monday, cancel your trip, and go in for a what they call a catheterization, where they stick basically a long needle, if you will, inside of you, or a tube, with a camera at the other end that they can look and actually see if the initial diagnosis is correct.
And so I imagine that when they did that, they saw some pretty serious heart disease, and they confirmed it, right?
Yeah, they did. One artery was pretty much blocked. Another one wasn't bad. They'll be watching that, in fact, jumping ahead in the story. The third, which was really the critical one, sometimes called the widowmaker, well, that one, when they went in, what they found were, you might call them arteriosclerosis speed bumps. Six, in fact, bump, 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 70% blockage.
And so you ended up with six stents, I understand.
Exactly. And that's the amazing thing, is that they were able to go in and not just look, but they were able to do the procedure at the same time.
Now, Paul, I've got to ask, I mean, before any of this happened, you went in and had tests done on your heart. What were you told by doctors then?
Well, curiously enough, I actually had two tests back to back, one by my regular doctor who does have some heart monitoring equipment. And his test was really bad. It showed I had had a silent heart attack and all sorts of things. But there was a potential problem with his equipment, which was a little out of date. So he sent me to a cardio, and that cardio ran additional tests, actually duplicated the tests with much newer equipment and did several tests on top of that. That result said, A, I didn't have a heart attack. B, I didn't have blockage. Yes, I had serious cholesterol issues, but I thought I had gotten a get-out-of-jail-free card at that point because, yes, my cholesterol was bad, but he didn't see anything that indicated that I was having a heart problem.
Okay, so nothing that maybe would have encouraged you to make major changes in your lifestyle, even though your father, your grandfather, and your uncle have a deep family history of heart attacks.
Yes, I do, but they also smoked like chimneys. Huh. I also did have an aunt who lived to 95. Now, she also smoked, by the way, like a chimney. She never had a problem. She worked to the day she died at 95, and my mother was in pretty good shape, so I was hoping maybe I got the other genes.
I see. And so we know you as being a man who travels a lot and is a foodie as well, and you maintained both those aspects of your lifestyle all the way up until the recent installation of these stents, right?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I'd love to eat, and I love to eat well. I was, unfortunately, really taking the risk. Not only was I ignoring the advice about the statin drugs, I was also eating too much, I was sleeping too little, I was traveling and running, and I was being a little pig, and I was putting on a lot of weight. I went from, 6 years ago, being a bit over 200 to over 250 by the time I went into the hospital.
Paul, hang in here for just a second, because you mentioned that we have a doctor with us, and we do. We've got Dr. Christopher Cannon. He's a cardiologist at the Brigham and Women's Hospital in Boston, and he joins us. Dr. Cannon, welcome.
Well, thank you very much.
So Paul's story is sadly probably familiar to a lot of people, and he's got a couple really good lessons for us all to learn here. One is to listen to your body, which we'll talk about more in a moment. But the other is the question of the nature of the initial heart tests that he had several years back. So it seems like those tests may have some limitations.
Well, they do. I think the classic thing that's done is a stress test. It sounds like he unfortunately had a poor quality one and then had a good one. It tells whether there's a 70% or more blockage at that time, but it doesn't say if you have blockages that are in the process of building up, as we might suspect.
But it tells you if you have 70% or more at that time?
Right.
Okay, but what about if you have less?
Then it wouldn't show up, and so he very likely had all those ones that were 60% a few years later were probably 30 or 40, and so that process of cholesterol building up in the arteries had very likely started a decade before, but is missed by a typical stress test.
We're talking to cardiologist Christopher Cannon and reporter and heart disease sufferer Paul Eisenstein. We'll have more in a minute, here and now.
Funding for Here and Now comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink technical computing software, accelerating the pace of discovery in engineering and science. Find over 200 job openings at MathWorks.com.
Welcome back to our conversation about the perils of not listening to your body or your doctor. Two lessons reporter Paul Eisenstein recently learned. Paul's father, grandfather, and uncle all died of heart attacks before the age of 60. Doctors told Paul he needed to reduce his cholesterol level, advice he ignored until one day he felt unusually fatigued, visited the hospital, and found out he needed 6 emergency heart stents. Paul is with us, and so is Dr. Christopher Cannon, cardiologist at Brigham and Women's Hospital in Boston. And Dr. Cannon, Paul had a stress test and an EKG, but given his risk factors, what other tests could have been done?
Well, another alternative is to actually look at the arteries. That can be done the most simply with what's known as a calcium score. And so it's a CT scan, very low radiation, that looks, is there calcium in the heart area? If there's cholesterol, there's calcium right next to it. And so the more calcium you see, the more blockages are in the heart arteries. A fancier version of that can be done as a CT angiogram, where you actually get the exact percent. But the decision for people like Paul 4 years ago would be, should I get aggressive in treating, losing weight, exercising, taking my statin, probably taking aspirin as well, so that you need to know, is the process started or not? He didn't have any symptoms at the time, so the stress test would check our symptoms from the heart. We want to know, is the cholesterol building up or not? If so, then to treat it.
Dr. Cannon, it sounds like these calcium tests are more sophisticated tests, possibly more costly. Are they being done enough on enough patients with potential heart disease?
Well, no. I think they've, as any new test that costs money, the insurance companies don't want lots of tests happening that they have to then pay for that would be done in people that don't need them. But for the right patient like Paul, I think this could have been a real change of the game 4 years ago.
Yeah. So what really gets me is something that Paul said earlier, that because of the initial EKG and stress test, which didn't show anything that raised an immediate red flag, Paul used a wonderful language. He felt like he was a get-out-of-jail-free card, so there was no encouragement for him to change his lifestyle. That is a potential risk, it sounds like, for other people who are in Paul's situation, that there's no indication that they should do anything to live a healthier lifestyle, even if they have a profound family history of heart disease.
Well, that's the thing. It's false security that you're okay. And so this is where trying to understand, is the problem there or not? And then do I really need to get serious? There was one study 2-3 years ago that did the calcium score in half the patients and the other half got just standard treatment. And those who got the calcium score actually got on medicines more often. Their blood pressure was lower, their cholesterol was lower, all the risk factors went down because they had seen problems and they got serious.
Paul, how are you feeling today?
I feel wonderful. Within an hour after having the stents installed, people were remarking on the color that I had in my face that they hadn't seen in years. I am able to work out. And what's interesting is almost on a daily basis, I notice improvements in my stamina, in the ability to lift, and how far I can bike, and so on. I've also lost over 20 pounds. I'm losing a little less than a pound a day in just a month. This really motivated me, that change in my behavior and in the way I feel is remarkable. And the better I feel, the more confident and comfortable I feel about doing things like exercising. Seeing myself being able to do a 3-mile heart walk this past weekend has made me feel so good about what's happening with my body. Suddenly, 60 doesn't feel like the end of my life. It feels like the beginning.
You're a passionate foodie. A lot of that had to be tough to give up.
In some cases, I've had to give up things. I can't eat fried foods. That's one thing I'm just not touching. So those fried oysters and soft shell crabs are gone. But a lot of things I can do, and it may just mean that I have one bite or two. If you try to completely give up everything, you're probably likely to backslide and eventually just let it go and go back to your old ways. If you really, really cut back and occasionally allow yourself a treat, you're more likely to stick with it.
So Dr. Cannon, it seems like one of the big takeaways from this is, you know, it's not an unfamiliar one in medicine, that patients do need to actually be their own advocates in the doctor's office. So what should we be asking our doctors?
Well, the Framingham risk score is the first step that we sort of add up all the risk factors. And so asking your doctor, what is my heart risk? And then asking, are there other tests that would help sort out? I have a bad family history, and it's a pretty common scenario. Is that as a reason at age 40 or 50 to come get checked out? Should there be other tests? And what about a calcium score? Would that help change my treatment?
Well, Dr. Christopher Cannon is a cardiologist at Brigham and Women's Hospital in Boston. Thank you so much, Dr. Cannon.
Well, thank you.
And Paul, last question for you. For folks who are listening to this, what do you want to tell them?
Listen to your body. And if you have a genetic history, don't ignore it. The good part is, the sooner you deal with this, the easier it is to adapt. You really can take charge of your life and, if necessary, get the treatment that will give you a lot more stamina and give you a lot longer life.
Well, Paul Eisenstein is the publisher of the DetroitBureau.com. Paul, here's to many, many, many healthy and happy years in front of you.
Thank you so much. Good to be with you.